Welcome to the Bangtan Epiphany, episode 113. This week, hope has sprung out of Pandora's box as J-Hope releases Jack in the Box. We party with J-Hope talking about our first impressions of his new album. And just in case you don't know already, this album is hot fire. Let's burn. No one knows about the past.
Okay, what's wild to me is that we maybe thought that we wouldn't have a ton to talk about if BTS were taking a break. Yeah, we're fine.
Yeah, like
there's so much that we can't even keep up with it.
Yeah, I mean, was there that fear? I think maybe that fear was there.
Well, it had slowed down,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, before the concerts, we were like, well, okay, where's the album? We kept anticipating it.
Yeah,
we kept anticipating new music, and when it didn't happen, we were like, you know, we came into muster thinking, okay, this is just a slower mode.
Yeah.
This is just a slower mode, and then they explained, and it's like, no, this is the new era of them doing solo projects and taking a break, but like, the solo projects are hot and heavy, my friends.
Yeah, and luckily they came rather rapidly because they were already starting to kind of like leak out, right? By the time Festa came around.
Yeah, we got that with Suga.
Yeah.
Left and Right with Jungkook.
Yeah.
And now we have Jack in the Box.
Yeah. But what's cool is like we heard about Lollapalooza first and we're like, what does this mean? Like, we're like
Hope World 2?
Yeah, like, obviously, right?
And this is our Hope World 2.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited about this album. It's freaking amazing. I'm still not over the fact that we're getting, like, so much content that I can't keep up with it. Like, I can't. I just don't have enough time in the day to keep up with everything that's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so crazy, which is, like, really shocking to me. I'm super happy.
Yeah, we've got our new wake up routine, and it's called waking up to the song Run BTS, and it gets ARMY ready in the morning.
Yeah,
to just stand all day. You know,
they took it really to heart, like too much to heart. They're like, it's break time, so let's sprint.
That's the thing. They're like, they say all these things.
So let's go hard. It's
yeah.
Like, do you not know what break means? That's okay. You boys, we love it. Keep giving us all these presents. We're totally okay with it.
Yeah, not only that, but they put out like a calendar, right, of the vlogs, like the vlogs or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Which is so cool.
So that's why they're
watched Tay's one.
Yeah, they're not on hiatus or whatever.
Mr. Kim Tae-hung. Did an awesome vlog. It was really cute. Though trigger warnings, he does go to the dentist. I hate the dentist, so.
Oh my god. So yeah, that's cool. We're going to be getting a bunch of those, but yeah, we're going to be busy, if anything.
Exactly. I'm so excited. So let's jump in, man. Let's jump out of the box.
That's right. Let's pop out of the box. Like, what do you do when you're a Jack in the Box?
You pounce.
You burst.
You burst. You burn.
You burn.
Apparently,
burn
you burn.
From the inside.
You burn from the inside. Oh my god, this album is like, okay, TBH. It just dropped. So like, this is more like first impressions.
Yeah, this is like a
this live is not reaction. Final impressions. Yeah. I haven't like fully, you know, analyzed everything, contextualized everything. I have like I've read all the lyrics and I've thought about it and I kind of got a sense of each song. But like still, it is like 2 days ago that I listened to it for the first time. So
well, yeah, yeah.
1 day ago, I don't know.
In the world or whatever.
In the world. So it's like very, very new.
Hot takes, right?
Hot takes. But we wanted to just like talk about it first thing because it's amazing. And of course, like we're really excited.
Yeah.
But still, hot takes.
Okay, so here's
you hot know how take. That is? Like, okay, this okay. is why I say that.
Yeah.
Because like when I first listen to something, like the first two or three times, it's like I'm just getting to know the songs, you know? We're becoming acquaintances. We're becoming friendly with each other, sharing anecdotes as you were. But then when I listen to it like enough and I listen to it in life, then it becomes like a friend, a lover, you know, yeah, it becomes
yeah.
important.
Well, yeah, you become more familiar with it and intimate. Right?
Well, it becomes like your song.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to like, I'm listening to this song and I'm thinking about this song. It becomes like an emotion, a feeling, an activity. It becomes yours. And when it becomes yours, you feel some kind of way about it, you know? It becomes special. So they haven't had the chance to do that yet. They're still acquaintances. I love them, but they're acquaintances. I'm getting to know them.
Cool, cool.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally get that.
I always feel like when we talk about like brand new music, we're a little cold because we're just meeting the songs for the first time.
Yeah, yeah. And then
but that's not how I feel later. How I feel later is much different.
And you can be like, okay, I was way wrong or whatever, like yeah, first impressions or yeah. whatever. Well, that's the thing is like music grows on you, right? Like
yeah.
you either like it blows you away right out the box, but sometimes it's a slow burn, right? And you're like,
yep.
I'm digging this. Like the more you listen to it, you know, it just like it seeps in, you know,
it's always a mixed bag for me. Even stuff where I listen to the first time and I'm like, this is sweet. Like yeah. it leaves a really good impression. It still doesn't have like an emotional meaning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until I start listening to that song in enough, you know, that it can become mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
It becomes one of like my, it goes on my like regular playlist. And then once a song goes on my regular playlist, it becomes like a favorite, a special friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what's supposed to happen, which is always like, we should really react to albums like 3 to 6 months after they drop. But like, no one wants that kind of podcast, I don't think.
Well, also
come listen to our podcast where we can't react to things until they're like way, way late.
Well, not only that, but the way of the world, right?
Yeah.
I say why not do a couple? Do the first one, the hot takes, and then do the I've sat with it, I've percolated, you know?
I know. Well, then what we should do is like we should do our hot takes and then we should like cover D2 again or something, yeah, yeah. right? Like now that we've had time to spend time with it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd love to do that.
But do Mott 7 again.
Dude, I could do Mott 7 all day, every day. I could just live in Mott 7 land. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's our new Wings supremacy. We'll mention Mott 7 every episode. And Wings. And have you heard of Love Yourself?
Jack in the Box. Jack in the Box is amazing. When I heard the title, I think I knew that, like, he's referring to the myth of Pandora's box, because they've told us that his name was based on Pandora's box back in the day, and that you know, because hope is the last thing in the box, which is what the intro tells the story of. Pandora opens the box, lets out all the evils into the world, and hope is the last thing in the box. And I love that because I kind of thought. It's a really cool theme for J-Hope as a name. But it's also kind of an amazing theme just for BTS in general. Like if they're creating this music to kind of expose dark things in the world, there's also this element of hope, and that he on the team represents that hopeful element. And in his verses, in his music, that's always been true in BTS. Mm-hmm. He's always been the, especially in the rap songs, like his turn on a verse is always like contextualizing things and giving it this like really positive viewpoint.
Yeah.
Which I've always thought was like really wonderful. Kind of like an unexpected attribute to a rapper is to find the like, to find the silver lining, to find the like humility and grace under a difficult situation or with cruelty and to turn it around. I've always thought that was so brilliant about J-Hope's lyrics.
Yeah. Yeah. And BTS in general, like, I just love that take on the lyrics, right? Like, I don't necessarily like, you know, don't want to dog on any other rappers or whatever, but like, I like that they're not talking about like, I'm so awesome. Look at my, my car, it's, and all the ladies,
it's not
or
just
whatever.
Pure,
right?
Swag.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which can be fun and fine and has like a place or whatever, but like, isn't super meaningful.
Exactly.
It's like, good for you, bro.
Your like car looks loves nice. A glow up song or whatever, right?
Right, right. Like, yeah, you are fab. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But this is like, I don't know. He has more depth to him, and I've always found his songwriting to be really deep.
Yeah.
Really deep. Into like, and really kind of like from this mature and kind perspective, and. What I love about this is we got more and then we got Arson, and it's like, it feels like a complete departure from our regular Hobie, from our Sunshine. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going in a completely different direction than you expect from Hope World 2. I mean, we were all kind of like speculating about Hope World 2, and I have always been so in love with the Hope World aesthetic. Mm. That I was like, I think I had some pretty big expectations about what his second solo project would be, and I was really wrong.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
but I'm like, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, that's the thing. We were like, we were so hot on Hope World, and we loved like all the like Latin flavor and things like that. And it's obvious, like, you just want more of that, right? You get like maybe Airplane Part 2 and you're just like, oh,
like
I want
the dance
more.
Club, like, yeah. Hobie, bright, cheerful, dancing Hobie. Like that's my idea of his aesthetic. And like the Hobie core. Oh, I mean, the back of my phone is even Hope World. It's a Hope World cover. I love it so much. But this, now that I've like read through the album, like lyrics, and like experienced it in order, I get it. I get why he did it this way, and I get why this was like the best move for him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like growth, right? Character growth.
But it's also like, it's very literal in its metaphors and what it's doing with its mm-hmm. metaphors. Like, if he is J-Hope, one of the problems with being hopeful and having that be part of your name and part of your persona is that it is a box that you can't get outside of.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You get trapped.
Yeah, you can't be sad Hobie or like angry Hobie or whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah, unless you're currently dance leader Hobie, and then you can.
Well, no one then crosses gotta, dance leader Hobie.
You got to crack the whip sometimes.
I mean, come on now. But he just has to give him a little look.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a little Hobie look.
Like the tiniest look.
And that you can see it shivers their spines.
Now, I wanted to give a shout out to Kaz because of the cover art.
Oh, I know.
It's so cool.
It's so cool. And he explained that like Kaz and him worked on it together and that he's like really honored because he's been a fan of Kaz for a long time now.
Yeah.
And they've met a few times, and that like he wanted the hands are kind of going in different directions because he's at a crossroads, but I also like how the hands are like supporting him, like the hands are pulling him out of the box. And there's like consecutively bigger hands.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. What I liked was the just the imagery of these hands, right? There's seven of them, right? Seven deadly sins.
Ooh.
And then he's the hope in the middle.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. There is technically seven because the seventh one is the red hand.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, you're going to have to look at this now that we're talking about something visual. That's not fun. I'm sorry, guys.
That's perfect format for a podcast.
Rocky sees seven hands, so if you look up the cover art, now you have a reason to, like, okay, now you have to count the hands.
No, you see it in your mind's eye. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're listening to this and you're driving, don't close your eyes necessarily.
Don't close your eyes.
But
you need to drive.
You've seen the cover art before.
What, did they memorize it? You can't count things from a memory, can you? I'm not that smart.
Okay.
My brain doesn't work that way.
That's okay.
I can't see something once and then count items in it. So I really love anyways, we were talking about the caviar, but I love the concept of, like, what are you going to do as an artist if you're kind of pigeonholed?
Yeah, yeah.
By a certain idea.
Not only that, but, like, you feel like there's all these expectations of you. Right. Yeah. Because that in its way influences your art, and then you're kind of trapped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like what's so cool, that's what I really felt from Moore, is like, oh, he's going to explode all of these expectations that we have.
Yeah. Just break out.
Just
like a jack in the box.
Like
right?
A jack in the box. Just break out and just break all of our expectations. But he does that while at the same time, the whole album's theme is about this idea, about being J-Hope, the persona of J-Hope, and how he can take something that's like hopeful, you know, and turn it into something that's like menacing or dark, or like he can take it in any direction.
Yeah.
And that's so cool.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what's cool is it gives you, I don't know, room to stretch, right? So he can feel out the different avenues, channels, corners of his personality or whatever.
I love that.
Yeah.
And you kind of like need that. You need freedom. You need freedom to do art, but you also need like restrictions. And so balancing those two things is really hard for people. I feel like there's a lot of pop artists who get influenced by what's going on in the music scene,
mm-hmm.
and kind of like they want to stay like, I don't know, relevant, or they want to do what's that's an expectation. I don't know how many bands and musicians I've followed when I listen to, like, it's not always album two, but sometimes it's album three, and I'm like, what the hell happened? Where did we go?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I don't even know this person anymore. And I'm just like, it's a complete departure from them. And with J-Hope, I think the expectations were probably even more severe because BTS is like way too famous, way too popular. And people know him so much and have these expectations that are built over like 9 years of being a certain persona. So I can imagine that second album pressure was even more extreme on him. And from that point of view, this is shockingly good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's shockingly good on its own. But I got to say, I'm so impressed that for his like second solo attempt, he manages to navigate those expectations of his fans with like, no, like he really just goes for it. And I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of him for like how scary that must have been.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm gonna call it right now, but there was a time earlier when they were doing an interview and he was talking about his mixtape and how he threw it all away. Right.
Yes,
and
like, I was so mad at the time.
Yeah, and like I don't know if it was P-Dawg or something, but he said like, the type of music you've chosen is very difficult, and how he was struggling with that. And I'm just saying, I feel like he pulled it off, you know?
Oh,
like
I think so.
He worked through
that. Yeah. Yeah, I'm so glad you reminded me of that. I totally forgot about that. Maybe that's like shows you the level of difficulty.
Yeah.
Right? Like he was going for something like this and really didn't quite get there. So he scrapped it and started from scratch.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing that they, as BTS, are really good at figuring out and thinking about. Like, when they were thinking about with B, right, they're like, we don't want it to be too cheesy, you know? Like, we want it to, like, be meaningful. Like, life goes on, right? But not have it be, like, kind of saccharine or whatever. Like, have it be meaningful.
Yeah.
And they're really good at balancing that.
I think it's true. I mean, and I'm so used to them working collaboratively, and that's how they kind of get away with pulling off these like ambitious projects.
Yeah.
Is because they're working with the company, but they're working with each other and they can rely on each other. So that like gives even more credit to J-Hope and his process that like doing this completely alone, it's completely him. Like he is talking to the director about the MV. He is picking out the costumes. He is like working with the artist to get the cover art and like all of these things. He's producing every track. Like this is completely on his own.
Yeah. When we watched that More MV photo shoot, right? Oh, like behind the scenes, it was so like, I don't know. It was pretty clear that he was directing. He's like, let's do one more. Like he'll watch it. And then the director's like, please, let's be done. Let's be done. And J-Hope's like, it's all good.
I know, right?
Yeah.
J-Hope always takes the most takes.
Yeah.
He's such a perfectionist. But like, that's really hard when you have that highest standards. When you're a perfectionist, it's really hard to complete things. And it's really hard to like make that decision and put in all that energy. Mm-hmm. And he did it like so amazingly well.
Yeah.
I'm just really impressed. I'm really impressed that this is like all the work that he went into this. You know, just while he's recovering from COVID and then flying to the Grammys on the day of to deliver perfect choreography that he's never done in practice before. That's our, I mean, that's our J-Hope, man. That's
normal.
That's our J-Hope.
Every day.
There's nothing he can't do.
I do love the setup, like the intro, you know, tells you the myth. Yeah. And I just love the imagery waiting for the fan comps of like, where they're like, the most beautiful creature fluttered out of the box.
I know, right? We need that fan comp, guys. I believe in you.
I just love it because show us
the beautiful creature that emerges from the box.
Well, yeah, it's J-Hope. But it's like, I love that.
Magical, sparkling fairy J-Hope. That's what I want.
Yeah, you get that imagery, and then it's like, boom, Pandora's box, and it like hits hard.
And then hits hard. Yeah. And okay, let's get into it. Let's talk about some of these songs. I like that he started out with sort of this explanation about who he was and who he could be. And the cultivation of himself in Pandora's box. I thought that was really cool because that's kind of what he did with Hope World. Is his first track is Hope World.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sort of making his mission statement. He's like, look, this is what Hope World's all about. And in this, he's like, let me tell you more about how this Hope, J-Hope title is more than just hopeful. There's this other side to it. There's this darkness to it. And I'm also in the box, full of all the terrors, right? But I'm also something positive. So he's like doing both things. And this whole album feels like that. It feels like the two sides. We are in this dark world together. And it's a scary place. So he gives us hope, but it's not like the only thing he gives us. He's also describing how he's in the dark, scary place too.
Yeah, exactly. And like the whole like idea of jumping out of the box, right? And like getting out of your comfort zone or however you want to think about it. There was a line in there that I loved. It was a little like kind of a proverb, the frog in the well, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's so cool because it's like the idea is basically, you know, you're this frog in the well and that's the world you know, but it's like outside the well is the ocean or whatever. And there's so much more.
It's a little bit like Plato's cave. It's like from the bottom of the well, the frog can only see, you know, a tiny little circle of sky in the well. So they have a very narrow viewpoint.
Yeah, exactly.
I really like that metaphor. It's really cool.
Yeah, and it's really cool in the first track. So he's like setting all this up and just talking about, you know, bursting out. It really kind of sets you up.
Yeah, yeah.
And the way that it just sets you up to go into more is so awesome.
Oh, I know. And more hits so hard with the little, like, rocky. Yeah, yeah. With the rocking out in the middle in the chorus. It's so awesome. And that had such a big impact. I mean, that's where we were all like, oh, my God, we're not ready. We didn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
We did not know.
Yeah.
And so it does really feel that impact. But it's almost like, okay, so Pandora's Box, he's kind of introducing the idea of his name and how it became, like, it sort of restricted him and how he wants to break out of it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then more is, like, I think it's really about how he wants to be himself.
Well, yeah, and how he's been doing all these things and he's been growing and learning. I like that line, something about like highlighter, like underlining my learnings or whatever. Because it's like, you know, you read a textbook or something.
Yeah, and you highlight the important parts.
Yeah, exactly. I just like this thing of it's all about growth, really.
Yeah. Well, also, and like, why do you want to go solo? Like, I think that's an important question, you know, especially for the fans, right? Like, we're ARMY, we want BTS. So we kind of are curious, like, why do you need to do something as a solo project?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's, he wants more. He wants to express himself in these diverse ways, which he can only do on his own, you know? And that's, I think, really valid. I think he proves his point. It's like, because this is what you get when you just get J-Hope creating his own music and content, is you get like a more raw, intense version of him.
Yeah. And that's what I've always loved about K-pop, actually, is the fact that it's not one note.
Yeah.
You can listen to a song and there could be a crazy like break where it completely changes to a different song and then breaks back to the song, you know, like either like during the chorus or the bridge or whatever. I love that musically.
Oh, me
too. It's so interesting.
That's true. That's one of the great things about K-pop is just how different the songs go and how like the sort of like the structuring and the different like genres that come in that are really unexpected.
And the breaking of formulas.
Yeah. Yeah. So you do feel like there's this like incredible potential. It could go anywhere. Mm-hmm. It could do anything. And you're really curious about how it's going to go. So I really loved how he did that in more, and that he is saying like he's proving his point. He needed to be able to show his individuality. You need to focus. You need to focus just on him in order to see the true like range that he has. And that's super exciting to me. And, you know, I've always thought that was true. Like I, as an ARMY, since 2019, like I've always thought like, it's amazing what they can do collaboratively as a band, they do need room to shine individually. Like it's just not the same.
Yeah.
It's just not the same if you know that one of the members is like happily being a member, but like not ever able to show their true color.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like if they're being prevented from showing themselves and their individuality, that would be a super bummer.
Or the fact that maybe they have within them a whole bunch of colors, a rainbow.
Right.
Right.
and that they don't always have to like be in sync with each other.
Yeah, or just showing the one note, one color, right? Show different shades of themselves.
And it really does enhance our understanding of all seven of them. Like, this is going to make us such bigger fans of J-Hope. But then when he comes back as a member of BTS, that's going to be additive, not subtractive, you know? So that's what I'm really excited about, is that, like, that we get a chance to get these individual colors. I think There Are No Bad People in the World is a really cute song.
Stop.
Though I will say, like, when I saw his song was called Stop, I just imagine the puppy interview.
Yeah.
No fight.
I mean, he's saying it in the song. He's like, don't fight.
Don't fight.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I love it so much. And like, you do, like, J-Hope, he is that guy. He's that guy who stops the other naughty children from fighting. Who keeps people in line and makes sure that everyone is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the caretaker, but he's like the nice caretaker. He's strict, but he's loving and he's looking out for you. But don't cross him. and I love that he has this song about, yeah, like how there's so much conflict. And I can't tell because he's not getting like really specific. Like, he's not, you know, giving us any tea here. He's too classy for tea, guys. So I'm not really reading between the lines. And it's hard because it's a translation. So anyone who reads the lyrics in Korean, like, heads up, is he spilling any tea here? I don't think so. It doesn't sound like him. He's just such a good guy. Like, but I feel like there's a few songs. There's this one. There's What If, kind of Future, a little bit Equal Sign, where I'm like, did some stuff go down? Like, it almost feels like him either reacting to the internet culture, K-Nets, it could be a lot of things. And since he's been working on this for over a year, it's like, think about the last year in COVID on the internet. It could be a lot of stuff. There's like an endless number of just kind of horrible humanity things that he could be talking about. So I think he's just sort of talking about in general, things that he felt like he needed to say. And with Stop, it you know, it's very similar vibe to like Disease, you know,
or I mean, that's one of the lines I keep thinking about, where he's like, oh, someone's comments can like affect someone's life or whatever, and he's like, I don't like it, right?
That's why I felt like with these songs that it just made me curious, like, what specifically happened that made him go, like, got upset enough that he turned it into lyrics. And I don't think that there are some songwriters I know who spill the tea in their songs, and they will talk shit about specific situations or politics or people. And it comes off pretty like, I don't know, it comes off a little nasty. I think when you tell the world that you have a problem with a specific thing, it can come off as really
well. There is kind of bitter. There's also the particular type of style of the diss track, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if J-Hope wants to make a diss track where he disses the whole world, you know?
Right. So, like, people on Twitter are mean. Like, I don't know exactly like what he wants it to stop. So he made it very like general.
Yeah. Because also it could be a whole album in itself if he wanted to list everything that we see online, right?
Yeah, that's a little bit dark that he doesn't want to focus on. That's a little unhealthy or like, yeah. which is kind of amazing because, you know, first impression of this album is like, oh, damn, J-Hope, you're going so hard. But then his lyrics are like, can we just be nice to each other, guys?
Don't fight.
I'm like, oh, that's just so adorable and endearing. I love him.
That's Hobie, man.
Why is he so adorable? Oh my God, this live show. So tell me if I'm a weirdo, but I'm obsessed with his hands. I'm obsessed with the way J-Hope moves his hands, how he touches things. He seems to touch things like as lightly as possible. Just like perfect little fingers as he's like touching all of his little objects that represent his album. He's so meticulous.
I think that's it. It's the meticulous nature and like almost like you could say delicate,
yeah,
or exacting.
Exacting. Yeah. He's very delicate, but it's like very effective.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of how well he controls himself. But like you can tell what a perfectionist he is. And like, I don't know. That's so amazing in contrast to him and the burnt outfit, like, yeah, fire and the, you know, the all the cars, burned out cars around him. And it's like, he looks so amazing in this messy aesthetic. And I know what like a perfectionist kind of detail-oriented person he is. And I love that contrast.
Yeah, definitely. I like that too.
It's cute, right? I don't know. There's just so many things about his personality that make this so fun. It makes it so fun. Like to have someone like him do this dark concept, his safety zone. I'm like, Hobie, you are my safety zone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's for real. He is my safety zone because I know, like, I knew before I read the lyrics that he was not going to be cruel. He was not going to be crass. He was not going to be, he's Hobie. I mean, I know Hobie. So I know that, like, no matter what he has to say, he's going to say it in this, like, beautiful, mature, humble, kind-hearted, but, like, honest way. And I just really love that.
Yeah, exactly. Now, equal sign.
Equal sign. Oh, I love this.
This is the one RM was like,
RM said it's his favorite. That's so cute. I really liked it. So I'm like, I like that it's all about equality. And then the symbol that he used when in the live show, like he brought little objects out of the box. Some of them were weird, like chessboard for
arson.
Arson? I was like, guys, it was right there. Give him a lighter.
yeah. Or the candle, right?
Right.
Throw some merch in there.
A can of gas. I don't know. Something. You went for chessboard? Okay. I don't get it.
Even he said that. He was
like, oh. It's a chessboard.
He's like,
or like the weird European knights. I don't even remember which one that was
for stop.
That was for stop.
He's like, because they're fighting. You know?
Don't fight. They should have named two puppies then.
Yeah.
It was right there, guys. It was right there. Okay, I'll call up Hybe later. I'll let them know.
Yeah. But it's funny because he even mentioned, he's like, I don't know which one. He's like, I confirmed all these. Like, I went over it, but
yeah,
I still don't remember
which one goes with which. But he showed the world. And so I took equal sign to mean what it usually means to us in the West, which is like, you know, equality as like a political movement is like non-discrimination. It's against homophobia, against sexism, against religious discrimination, you know, but usually it's about, you know, gender and homophobia. And so I think that it is about that. I also think that it's about, I mean, what a wild trip. This Korean from, you know, the smaller province in Korea becoming this global superstar and having fans from all over the world, all ages, religions, genders, etc. That must be wild.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, to love his fans, he has to see his fans as equals to each other.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't have, like, his bestie fans and then his, like, okay fans or whatever, right? he just has to see them as his fans. And they're all so different. They're all such different people. So, like, I think that you either have to like, I think he's learned about equality between humanity, and it's really beautiful, and it's something I really agree with. So,
well, also, he's like, again, a lot of this album I find is him just kind of posing the question and trying to figure things out. So, I mean,
that's true. It does, the lyrics don't feel too heavy handed.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like he's putting it out there as this question, this dialogue, even, right? And so, he's like, why in the song, he's like, why is being different a crime? And so he's like thinking about it, and he's like, maybe it's like homework we all have to do. And he's like, I'll start with enlightening myself. So he's like, I'm gonna become a better person. And I think you should.
And too. I think you should too. Right. Sorry. That's a line that our friend said to another friend in front of us. And it's like one of the best things we ever heard or saw. They said, I'm thinking of becoming a better person. And I think you should too. It's a great backhanded compliment.
Exactly.
But J-Hope's always telling us that. I think you should too. Like, but very nicely, very gently. There's no sass involved. And I really felt that. I really felt like he's kind of talking about what he sees. The only thing I wish is that I wish I knew more specifically what it's about. And I can't tell if it's just because is it true in Korean sometimes you refer to a subject but you never state it? I wonder if that's true, because it really feels like something's missing. Like the subject of what inspired like him to talk about equal sign, like what was the thing that triggered that song? Or, but even more so, like stop, like what specifically really made him think that something needs to stop? And that's what's missing, is the subject for me. Just because I want to understand it better, but I love the like theme in general.
Yeah. I mean, maybe really cool. That's the part of the art, is like, you can, as a listener, fill in the subject for yourself. So it can mean something to you for this subject, right?
Yeah, yeah. I totally get that. I don't know. I felt like he was holding back a little bit. He was holding back from spilling any tea. And I know that he's just such a good guy that that's something that he would do. But I think that in order to like really jump out of that box, I don't know. You can spill a little bit of tea. You know how Suga spills that tea.
Well, yeah. That's true.
He's always let himself
but
do
then
that.
Every now and again, the company's like, we're going to actually just beep that part.
That's true. Yeah,
that happens too.
And then there's the parts that got edited out. So who knows? Maybe a few lyrics are on the editing room floor.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, I can only imagine. I try to have compassion for, like, what a trip it must be to get to their level of fame and success. And I think about it a lot, because, you know, it is sort of wild. I love that in the fashion show where Tay went, like Tay was not surprised by the extraordinary adoration and how hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of people came out just to see him and Lisa and Park Bo-gum. But Park Bo-gum is like early BTS for me, because the guy was like in shock the whole time. He's just like, whoa, like just looking around in shock.
So you're saying he's like 2014 BTS?
He's like 2017 BTS or current day Jimin. Because Jimin still does that. Of just like, holy mother of God, this got out of hand quickly, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And we've been watching them. I love, you know, we get to watch all these behind the scenes and Bangtan bombs. I've seen the guys like going to an American award show for the first time, or like going to the Grammys for the first time, or like these monumental things, and just being like, wow, how did we get here? This is so wild.
Yeah.
And I really feel that too from Hobie, is like he's reflecting on the intensity and insanity and, you know, wonderful glamour, but also like really terrifying level of fame that they got to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a trip. That's the thing Jin was saying back when Dynamite hit. He had a little existential crisis, you know?
Dude, I would have a nervous breakdown. I mean, I would skip existential crisis and go straight to nervous breakdown.
Yeah, right.
So I could get a little vacation.
Yeah, yeah.
At a nice, you know, mental holiday spa, because that's where rich people go, because they don't go crazy. They need like mental breaks, which is the nice thing. The quality of the mental care center that you go to. But like, good for them, they're keeping their shit together, because I wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I thought so in Arson, I love the music video.
We're so jumping to Arson.
I know, but because it's relevant. The house in the background.
Oh yeah.
So there's this picture of like a really nice little house in suburbia. It looks like an American suburban house.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's kind of interesting that that's the thing that burns up. That's sort of like the representative of normal. And then it's completely burned away by the end of the music video. And I think that that sort of picture of a house kind of represents normalcy.
Mm.
It's very American dreamy, right? Like everybody dreams of having the big house and you get married and the 2.5 kids or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So what my impression is, I don't know if this is real, is like for J-Hope, he got to a certain level of success and realized that was never in the cards for him anymore. Like normal life, living in the cute little house with your kids and your, you know, whatever, no longer the cards. And that I thought made that image of the house burning like so much more stark, because you don't know how important that dream was to him, or if it was his dream or just the thing that he always thought he would do. And to realize that it's gone must be kind of a trip. I think a lot of famous people are like, oh, well, maybe I'll just be famous for like a while and then I'll go back to normalcy. But at this point, like, could BTS ever go back to normalcy? Is like in the cards at all?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because there is a threshold that when crossed, it might be a point of no return.
You don't go back. You know, you have to like, you're always going to be noticed. It's like, I guess it's the grocery store test. Like, can you go to the grocery store without it being a problem, without getting mobbed, without like, can you go to the grocery store? Can you go to your kid's soccer game or whatever? Are those normal kind of activities like something that you can do? And I think for them, I mean, I saw what happened in Paris. I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that it's normal to go to a fashion show, but you get the idea. You know, they can't just be somewhere and have that be a normal thing. So I think that it felt a lot like Shadow, and it felt a lot like kind of trying to show the price of fame.
I like the way Arson is like, it's not necessarily talking about the act of it, right? Arson, but the idea of like, I did this thing where I burned my 20s in exchange for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Or I,
and burn the, like, future.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's future, the thing. Normal. That's where burnout is. Like, that's the idea as well. Is like, am I burning myself out? Like, am I burning from the inside? Like,
yeah.
You know, flying too high to the sun or whatever, you know?
Yep. Yeah. And the fact that he's calling it arson is so significant, because he's saying, I set the fire.
Yeah, yeah. It's his choice, right?
So even though it's like, here's the cost of fame, is like burning up these certain things. It's my fault. Like, I did this. I chose this life. But it must be hard, because all of these guys chose this life as teenagers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they were kids. So, like, that's, it's wild. And they probably didn't think they were choosing what they got. Like, who could predict BTS creating a massive Korean Hollywood wave that, like, is this successful? There's no way that they could have predicted that. So in some ways, I think it's a little unfair when they take full responsibility for their own fame. It's like, yeah, you had no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
You definitely didn't know it was going to get this hardcore. But I do like that it's like how dark the song is, right? It's such, like, even the burn, burn. It's like a growl. It's so dark and, like, gritty, and it's really, I love how dark it is, because I do feel like there is so much cost to fame. You know, Suga in Shadow was a little bit more direct. He's like, all the people that chase me and try to kidnap me.
Yeah.
The shadowy figures who chase after me in the streets. That's more of a literal, like, fear.
Yeah.
But still talking about the cost in this song, he's like, I'm the king, I'm the boss. It was my ambition to be that person that brought me here. Mm-hmm. And it is my shadow. And J-Hope seems to be saying something similar. Like, he decided to burn. He set the fire and he burned as hot as he possibly could.
Yeah. He was like, I shower in gasoline, you know?
Yeah.
To keep burning.
And, you know, just seeing him in dance practice, we know that's a fact.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We know that's a fact. So it's, I don't know. They're too humble for their own good, aren't they?
Yeah, but also, like, some of the things in that song had alarm bells going off in my brain, right?
Because
he's like, it's done. My dreams are done. Big achievements are done. My part is done. And he's like, leaving when there's still applause, that's cool. You know, the whole, like, retire when you're
on top.
That
does feel very final.
And I'm like, don't say these things.
Help me. But BTS tour in October, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing is he's like, he says there's all this stuff. Yeah, I achieved all these things. And he's like, but even if I stopped, there would still be, like, the soot. Like, he talks about, like, I burned everything. But even afterwards, there's still going to be all this, like, soot. So, like, it's not like he can ever escape the flames.
Yeah.
Right? Or the after effects of that. Right? Of burning down everything.
It's so, because we were talking about this. We were talking about this idea that, like, you get so famous, you can't become unfamous anymore. Like, you went too far.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that, it always reminds me of that time Jungkook's like, you know, when I'm not famous, it'll be cool to just hang out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every time. Yeah.
Yeah. He said it during a live.
Like, yeah. When he said that, I was like, oh, Jungkook. Sorry, baby. It's not going to happen.
Not today.
You'll never not be Jungkook. Like, people all over the world who don't even know how to spell Korea have heard the name Jungkook. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, like, that's, I love that they're expressing this. I love that J-Hope's expressing it. And I love that I see it in Suga's stuff too.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I love the lines, like, at the end where he's like, I'm the one that started the fire. So I asked myself, choose what, to put out the fire or to let it burn even more. Right. So again, he's not necessarily stating anything. He's just, like, thinking about it and positing these questions and putting them out there, you know.
But, you know, there were times when they considered putting out the fire,
mm-hmm.
right? When they considered stopping or stepping away, and they didn't. And, like, that's, like, the fact that J-Hope feels so responsible for that decision, he feels like it really was his decision, makes me really happy, because that means that, like, it wasn't like he got pushed to becoming J-Hope. He really chose to become J-Hope in BTS in 2022, where he's one of the biggest stars in the world. And he chooses now to explain that choice in arson and say how he's going to continue to burn. So it's like, I don't know. I feel like it's a sort of power move.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's like, it's really cool to see that as well for him, the power of choice, right? It's nice.
I really love that. There's like, I really love these songs. I think like Arson's definitely in my top two. I really loved Safety Zone too.
Yeah, I mean, we got to go back. We didn't even mention What If. What If had me giggling.
Oh, yeah.
Because like it just starts off and I'm like, immediately it hits me. I'm like, is that ODB?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, the Wu-Tang? And I was so hyped about that.
I love all the 90s hip-hop vibes.
It's so much. Throughout the album. It's
yes.
Like, I'm getting so many vibes, you know?
I also love the like sort of like creepy horror, you know, turn to some of the tones like
the ambient elements, right? Yeah.
Oh, it's so much darker than I thought he was going to go. So maybe like, because I just like read the lyrics through, they're very much like in my head. I think I felt like when you read the lyrics, it feels a little bit softer, but paired with the music, It fits well. You couldn't have too dark a lyrics or it would just go in a completely opposite direction.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing I was talking about. The whole balance and like the ability to pull out not just one note, but have two notes, three notes, like all the different colors and like,
yeah,
it really gives you a cohesive whole, right?
Also, here's what I think is really interesting because I've been feeling like there's all of, you know, J-Hope's totally picking some things from the 90s that are just amazing and incorporating them, but he's not going full 90s because if he was going full 90s, you know, equal sign would be about how it would be about how all the haters are awful.
Yeah. And it's always and pushing back.
It would be antagonizing all the people who are like racist or discriminatory or homophobic. Yeah.
But what's cool is his intro talks about how he cures all the angst in the world, right?
So, right, he brings hope because he's the hopeless so in the box.
Yeah, he didn't bring the angst of the 90s.
And the angst of the 90s would read so annoying today. Like, I can't even watch someone be whiny in a show from like pre-2020. You know, pre-2019, 2018, sometimes I'll like watch a show that I missed and I'll be like, I can't listen to their whininess. They don't know. You know what I mean? It's like once you've been on the other side of the trauma, you don't want to hear about people's problems before they knew that the world was broken. Like before the world breaks. Like you don't even know. It comes off very annoying. So that's what I was thinking is like this is finally 90s aesthetic is being used well.
Yeah, yeah. No, right? That's cool. That's the where the balance is, right?
Yeah.
Or finding the secret formula to like put out a successful post-pandemic album.
Album, you know? That has dark themes.
Yeah.
Because if you go full dark, if you're just whining and angry and blaming everyone else and the tone is dark and the music is really dark, it's not gonna fly.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We're all, you know, suffering from our own PTSD and depression.
Well,
like,
yeah. I keep in my brain thinking about it in terms of, like, food or recipe. Maybe I'm hungry. I don't know. But, like, the idea, you can't, like, you gotta, like, balance the flavors, you know?
Yeah, you have to balance it. You have to balance it. And, God, he's so good at balance.
Yeah.
He really is. I really love it.
Yeah, almost like he's a really good dancer. I mean, that's the thing is, like, he was, like, saying, I dance on the beat, you know? Like,
oh, yeah.
It's so good.
He surfs on the beat. It's so awesome. Yay, Hovi! I'm so excited!
Now, we gotta throw out Future. Because Future was, he was saying, and I agree, that it's this, like, it is like a bright, like, little piece of, like,
it's
the
really
old J-Hope or whatever you want to think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love it. You know, and it's such a smooth album. It's so short.
Yeah, yeah.
It is 10 tracks and it's so short. It's like under 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's why it's like, it's going to take longer. I need to like listen to it a bunch more and it's like you have to savor them a little bit more because like blink and they're over.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm not totally used to this 2 minute song thing, guys. I miss the good old 5 minutes, you know, you just sit and chill with the song. This is like you get up and you jog around the block at your maximum speed, right?
Like, yeah, I also think the difference is like you're hearing something maybe once or twice, right? And with a normal
That's true. The longer song you're minutes. Not going to listen to it like 20 times. You're going to listen to it 2 times.
Well, you're also going to hear the chorus. Like, let's say the message is in the chorus, right?
Yeah.
So it's repeated a couple of times
That's
at least.
True. That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's true. That's the difference between a 2 minute song and a 5 minute song is like you're hearing like 70% of the 2 minute song 3 times over. Right? And with a little bit of new stuff, but like it's basically a repetition. These are songs where you never repeat that cycle, the bridge chorus. You never do that again.
Yeah, yeah.
You just do it once.
I kind of dig it actually. Like I love some of that like old school rap where it's like, we're going to do like a thick verse.
Yeah.
And then we do like a little like bridge chorus then and then bridge, another thick verse.
Do a nice chorus, maybe a vocal chorus.
Yeah.
And then wrap it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then get out.
And like you're just spitting truth and then you fucking drop the mic.
And then you drop the mic and you get out. Yeah, it's very much that style.
Yeah, I love that.
It just means I have to repeat it more.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, it's over? Oh my God.
Also, I just want to say, I swear to God, I was thinking in my brain back when Butter came out and I was like, we need to get some Wu-Tang up in here.
Oh my God.
And have a Wu-Tang Butter
mashup.
And then
mashup. He delivered.
Thank you. Thank you.
So exactly. Amazing. Thank you, J-Hope. It was great. We love it.
That's right. Wu-Tang forever.
J-Hope forever.
That's right. Jack in the Box.